Greetings and salutations to our fine podcast audience. Welcome to Three Peas in a Pod, episode 287.
We made it.
Question, guys. Have any of y'all ever taken a spiritual gift aptitude test?
Yes.
I've taken a spiritual gift test. I don't know if they had the word aptitude attached to
it. Well, that's what the question today, the person has taken one recently, and I just wondered, have y'all taken one?
I've taken a spiritual gift test.
I've taken many of them.
Maybe we should explain what that is. Would y'all like to explain what that is?
It's a made-up test.
Based on a non-exclusive list of spiritual gifts that mm-hmm. is listed in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, there are several places within the, you know, Paul's got a couple. There's one in 1 Corinthians and there's one in Romans.
Yeah, they're not the same.
Yeah. And then there's other ones that I've heard people sort of like.
Oh, I've taken ones that have ones that aren't listed in the Bible.
Yeah, well, I've had ones that are like some of, you know, there's the, oh, what's the guy's name? Bezalel or whatever from
who?
The book of Exodus, builds the stuff. And they say it's one of the first places where the Holy Spirit falls on an individual that wasn't the anointed person like Moses or Abraham or whatever. The Holy Spirit comes upon this person to give him the ability to craft the artifacts that are in the tabernacle so that they resemble heaven.
Okay.
Because he had to get that vision. And so they will add that one in and then some other ones from the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit came upon a person and they take those out.
I find it like most tests that if you read the answers before you start, you can probably get there if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. if you decide, hey, here's a list of things, those are the ones that I'd like to have those.
Yeah. Yes.
I can decide to have that.
Yeah.
The way it seems for people who are wondering what even a spiritual gift is.
Now, I'm not saying everybody does that. Yeah. I'm not, I don't mean that at all.
No. What it seems like a spiritual gift is from, once again, we said this in the last episode, there aren't definitions. Mm-hmm. They're usually just used in through context. We try to figure out what was Paul talking about. He uses the term at one point, there are different manifestations of the Spirit. It is the way that the Holy Spirit empowers the church, and by the church, I mean the people, the individual believers who are have the Spirit living within them. It is the way the Spirit shows up through what we in our church would say is cooperating with the Spirit. I cooperate with the Spirit, and the Spirit empowers me to do a specific thing.
For the church body.
To build up the church body. Either through reaching the lost or, you know, equipping the people in the church to become better disciples and honor Jesus more and all those kinds of things. So there are specific manifestations, and by manifestation means ways the Spirit shows up.
So I'd like to say first, I think it's pretty clear in the scripture there are spiritual gifts.
Yes.
I do think every body of Christ has them at work in them.
Yes.
When we first started Community Christian, we started out by giving people spiritual gift inventories. That was a part of what we did at the beginning. Wanted to try to help people get in the area that these inventories told them they could serve. I found them counterproductive over time and wound up serving the person, not the body.
Mm.
But that may have been our implementation of it. So I don't want to say that. I don't believe that the gifts remain stagnant over the course of a lifetime.
Yep.
But again, these are a lot of my beliefs. None of that's clearly taught in the scripture.
If they are gifts that the Spirit gives and empowers people, if I get locked into only one, that tells me it's probably more me than it is the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Because I agree with you. I've taken the test before myself, and honestly, it just becomes more like a personality test more than anything. And I'm not saying that that's not part of how God uses us, but I do know that there are some things that everybody ought to be growing in anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for example, I know there was like a gift of helping or service or something.
Yeah. Gift of giving.
But does that mean if I'm not wired up to give or to help, I ain't got to give or help? No.
That's right.
There's something going on that's stunted in my growth if I'm not. So I don't, you're right. I think the thought that, oh, that's my gift, that's all I have to worry about, is probably not a Spirit-filled approach.
Well, the other thing I noticed was over time, there, particularly early in our church, there were just a lot of people that had not ever done church before, and they would come and we'd teach them about Jesus, and then and along the way, we'd take these gifts. The things that I had noticed of them before they were Christian would inevitably also be their spiritual gifts, which began to be a tip-off to me. We may be measuring personality.
Yeah.
So like the most empathetic people always had the gift of mercy.
Yes.
I never found a really, really, really empathetic person that had the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching, particularly. Most very empathetic people, when they graded out, they had the gift of mercy. And most people who had a personality where I'm just a person that tells it like it is, they generally had the gift of prophecy.
That's right.
That's the way that just tended to work out.
Yes.
And if the Spirit is empowering it, I'm not saying the Spirit doesn't take natural talents and then boost them, but it, maybe it shouldn't be every single time.
Well, and the fact that I want to continue on with the question, because Ed brought up that very same thing, and I think that goes right into the question. So we've kind of set it up. I want to go ahead and read the question so we can get into the specifics. The question says, I recently took a spiritual gift aptitude test given at a church, and I'm not sure of its accuracy, but what would the gift of prophecy look like today, and how could I use it to benefit others? So I'm assuming yours came up to be that, because it's probably why you're asking that. So Ed mentioned that.
Well, I think even in the Bible, when Paul, you know, Paul says in Corinthians, where they're having all the tongue confusion, he says, I wish everybody were a prophet instead. So as you begin to hear about it, and there are people prophesying in the church, we probably need to remove from it the way that people tend to think about it. It's not about foretelling the future.
That's right.
Not most of the time. In fact, there seems to be even a different kind of separation from that. There are some people that do come to Paul at one point, if you remember, and they tell him, hey, you're on this trip to Jerusalem, you're definitely going to jail.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they bind themselves and all. And that's a very Old Testament prophet kind of thing of demonstrating things. But most of the time, prophets, even in the Old Testament, weren't so much foretelling the future. They were telling, they were saying the word of God.
Yes.
They were prophetically speaking the word of God to people who needed to be clear on what God was addressing in a particular situation.
That's
literally, the word means to speak for God.
That's right. I think that's a good distinction, because I find most people, when they hear that term prophesy or the gift of prophecy, they think, oh, somebody's, it's not much different than a fortune teller.
Well, they think about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, he was a prophet. Oh, well, he was wrong a lot.
Yeah, he was. Yes.
Unless you just really take those words and twist them to fit whatever you want them to.
So let's take that idea and let's tease that out. What would someone with that gift, if someone had a gift of prophecy, how would the church benefit, and how would they use that in the body of Christ?
Yeah, I think the gift of prophecy is, I can't remember who I heard say, but it's a particular word for a particular person. That the way that it works, and I've had people do this in my life, I've had lots of people try to do it, and and the nature of any kind of spiritual gifting is time tells, not the experience itself. And so what I mean is, when somebody comes, similar to a gift around prediction, that when someone predicts the future, time tells whether that thing works or not. And when a person comes to me and goes, God's given me a word for you, often when people approach me that way, it is not the thing they say. I go, that never has panned out the way it is. But there are a lot of people who have just said, man, as you're talking, I'll be in a room with somebody in a small group or a discipleship, as they're talking, I'm just hearing I think God would say this to you, or I think, you know, this is the truth of the situation. And when they say it, there's the burning in your heart sensation. Mm-hmm. And then time over time, that thing pans out. And this is why I would say, I was going to say earlier about the spiritual gifts test. I don't know this is true because, once again, there's no definitions. But when I read a lot of the stuff that Paul says, I can see how people read when he says, those who have the gift of preaching should preach, as there are people who, like a personality, like I'm an Enneagram 3, I also have the gift of preaching. So for all time, whenever I preach, that's my gift. But I honestly read when Paul's talking in there, because he's talking about orderly church services, and he's talking about how there are people just spontaneously prophesying. There's people spontaneously doing this, and we got to have order. You can't just let people start going and doing whatever they need to do because you're freaking out people who don't know. The way I read it, which once again, I haven't studied the grammar on these particular things, so I could be off, is I don't know that he's saying, Jason, you're going to be the gift of prophecy for the church. Ed's going to be the gift of preaching for the church. It's when the Spirit enables the gift of prophecy in this moment. So what I'm trying to say is, I think anybody in the church at any moment could be given the gift of prophecy for a specific word at a specific time. Not just the people who have taken the test, mm-hmm. and we go, okay, let's put a label on them. So when they talk, we know they have the gift of prophecy. Yeah. And when this person talks, they have the gift of mercy. Because I have also had times, though no spiritual gift test I've ever given has told me I have the gift of mercy, but there have been times when somebody near me has been in deep need and the Spirit has moved within me to be incredibly merciful. And I think in that moment, that manifestation of, it was the Spirit manifesting itself through me to the other person. And I think there was a heart-burning moment for that person.
Yeah.
Now,
well, and I think everybody's had a sense, well, not everybody, I'll qualify. I think every follower of Jesus who spends any amount of time engaging with Jesus and growing has had that moment where you see something, you hear something, you encounter a situation or a person, and that thing just comes up in you and you go, that's not right. Or I think if God had something to say about that, he'd probably say this.
Yes.
Or that reminds me of something from the scriptures, and that applies in this situation. And that's prophecy, because as Ed said, it is taking God's word, God's will, his intentions, and then transferring them to the people.
And yes, I do not see personally the spiritual gifts as an immutable quality, meaning like it doesn't change. Yeah. That when I got baptized, the Spirit imprinted it on me, mm-hmm. and one day that's just going to become clear, Nathan. Because when I was 12, someone said, Nathan, you have the gift of prophecy. And I was like, okay, I got to figure it. And what they told me was to say, they told me it wasn't about seeing the future. It's about God's going to speak. God speaks through you in a way. But there, for a long period of my life, that did not help me hearing that at 12. Mm-mm. It puffed me up to the point of, I'm the one who can hear God and no one else can hear God. Mm-hmm. But then, like Ed preached this Sunday, and I thought it was beautiful. It's one of my favorite verses from Numbers when Moses says, I wish all people could be God's prophets. And then when Peter preaches in Acts 2, he goes, everyone's going to start prophesying and everyone's going to start seeing dreams. It's coming on everyone's going to have this. But that also doesn't mean I'm going to see dreams every night when I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. It means at certain times, because the Spirit knows what we need, he's going to gift us with that. Now, I do think there are some of us, because as Ed's already said, who have natural giftings. The three of us, I think, have natural giftings for communicating ideas to larger groups of people, because that's a different kind of just natural gifting that comes about, which is I can write some words down in a way that explain things. Mm-hmm. To say all of that's a spiritual gifting would say every time I've ever crafted words out that God is somehow imbuing them. But I know a lot of times I have crafted words in a way to get my message across that I really wanted to commit people to. It is a work on my part, and I know for both of you as well, mm-hmm. to submit myself to the words in Scripture and go, I'm not going to make this say what I want it to say. I'm going to come in and just Can I submit myself to what?
Or not even to change the scripture, but through saying it in such a way, people think a certain thing about me.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to look clever
Yeah, that's right. I want to look smart. I want to look clever. I want to look good. I want to look a certain way. Mm.
And so I think there's an important part of when it comes to gifting, because once again, because of my natural gifting, my whole life people said, you have the spiritual gift of artistry or whatever the thing. But a lot of my life leading worship in church, because I started when I was like 13, a lot of it was a lot about me. And it has taken a lot of that. Now, there were times when it was really surrendered and really submitted and really turned out. But then I've seen other people who you would say this sort of the way Moses describes himself and Paul describes himself of not being the best public speakers.
Sure.
But they're in a room full of 100 people and we're having a thing. And they say in their own broken way of getting the words out, and everyone in the room goes, that was God. Yeah. That was not that person. And in that moment, they had the gift of preaching. And in that moment, they had that God, he manifests himself in such a way, because the goal of the spiritual gift and really the goal of the church is to get glory back to God. Mm-hmm. And if, like Ed said, I look at a person and go, because I know people in the same way, and this is more of an Enneagram thing, but they're a very empathetic and merciful person, but they also need to be the person that everyone calls when they're in trouble.
Well, yeah.
And there's a way in which I go, I have the gift of mercy, so I want to be the one that everyone calls when they're in the hospital, and everyone's this. And it becomes a little bit more about you than it does about glorifying God. And in that way, the natural gifting can overcome the spiritual gifting.
I would say, I do think, and again, 100% could be wrong, because everything, a lot of what we've just said, which I agree with, and I'm not disagreeing with it, this is not explicit in the scripture.
Right.
It's just not explicit. I do believe there are seasons when you submit yourself that you are given a mantle of a certain gift.
Yes.
That's what I was meaning by I don't think it's immutable for all of your life. But I do think there are times where God supernaturally uses a person and gives them a way to do a certain thing. Doesn't mean they're sinless, doesn't mean anything. Oh. Mm-hmm. God chooses to use them in that way for certain events. And I think the way that I have seen it most happen is the way Nathan talked about in small groups and in community. People begin to say to you, hey, when you do this, it feels like God is using you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that the gift is confirmed not by me checking off some boxes, but by me just trying to serve the body of Christ in whatever way I can. So it all must start with the spiritual gifts are given to serve the body. So I have to admit that the very first part of all spiritual gifting is I follow the example of Jesus, who took a towel and put it over his arm and washed people's feet, so that my goal is not about me. It's about serving the body. And once I decide to serve the body and my heart is in that direction, God may choose to empower me with something that I am especially gifted to do in the body. But the body will be the one to confirm that. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for the person who asked the question, I think one of the tragic things that could happen is if you take the results of this test, assuming you tested high on the prophecy gift, and you were to then take that and say, well, this is my thing. I will, you know, and you hold that so tightly that it just to the exclusion of everything else. And
yes.
And you don't develop anything else. And you're just, because a lot of times I've found people when we do that, that kind of thing you both mentioned of being puffed up in yourself and it becoming more of a personality driven thing than a God surrendered kind of gift that I'm using to serve the body of Christ. But at the same time, if there is a gifting in you, if there is a tendency that you lean towards, and it is that you are able to be very, with a lot of clarity and a lot of authority, be able to look at situations or to be with people or to search the scriptures and find very applicable truths mm-hmm. that you can then pass to people in a spirit of help and mm-hmm. trying to help them, you know, follow Jesus more and grow and all that. And you're able to help folks in that way and you're serving that way, then lean in, man.
That's right.
Do that. Mm-hmm. Just hold all of that so loosely with humility and with fear and trembling as yeah. you work through that and understand that this is God working through you. I think you'll be just fine. But that is the challenge.
It
that
is.
Have in front of you.
I have to start out with the idea, I want to serve God through the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And as I'm serving, if the opportunity comes up for me mm-hmm. to use this gift, whatever it is, mm-hmm. It'll come up in big or small ways mm-hmm. as I serve. The problem was when we were doing things as people would go, well, that doesn't really fit this gift.
That's right.
So I'm waiting.
I don't have to do that.
I don't have to do that thing. Mm-hmm. Which in and of itself shows that I don't have the heart to serve the body of Christ when the body says, hey, we could use you to do this thing. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things in the church you don't have to be gifted to do. You have to be willing.
That's right.
You just have to be willing.
I mean, somebody shows up at your door and they're hungry and you, well, I don't have the gift of giving or mercy, but I can prophesy to you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's we all get that that's messed up. But there are times when that shows up in us.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
I've seen that happen a lot.
I've seen it happen in church particularly where people go, I don't have the gift of helps, mm-hmm. so I can't carry a table. Yeah. I can't take out garbage. That's
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. yeah. Only the people with help should do that. Uh-huh. Turns out they don't have very many, apparently. We all want the bigger gifts. Nobody wants to be the foot, as Paul says.
That's right. Well, I think that's what Paul was getting at when he said, you know, you guys are leaning into the tongues gift, because that's the one he was using, because mm-hmm. it's the flashier stuff, he said. Mm-hmm. And he called the other ones the greater gift.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He said, that's not the greater gift. There's more to it than that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, anybody else got anything about that?
I don't have anything else.
I think that covers it pretty well. So, I hope that helps, you know. Congratulations on being a prophetic, gifted person.
Yeah, that's right.
And use that to the glory of God in whatever way, in your church context, whatever. If it's ours, let us help you.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I don't have a next week tease for next week's question. Mm-hmm. That means it's open, wide open. So, go ahead and send us a question in if you'd like to and get yours in next week and we'll do our best to answer it. So, until then, see you guys next time.